Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 again.
Vamos a abrir nuestras Biblias mujeres en San Mateo, capítulo 24, otra vez.
Chapter 24, Matthew.
San Mateo, capítulo 24.
Verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree when its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves. You know that summer is near.
De la higuera aprender la parábola. Cuando ya su rama está tierna y brotan las hojas, sabéis que el verano está cerca.
Even so, you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door.
Aquí también vosotros, cuando veáis todas estas cosas, conocéis que están cerca a la puerta.
Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place.
Es cierto, digo que no pasará esta generación hasta que todo esto acontezca.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now last night and this morning, we are occupied with the phrase that our Lord has uttered. He said, now learn the parables from the fig tree. Now, if the Our Lord spoke on parable, it means behind the parable must have a very deep lesson for us to learn. No doubt our Lord was talking about the future of Israel. According to his prophecy, one day the nation of Israel will be removed. So our Lord spoke on fig tree. But our Lord said this is only a parable. Deep down in the heart of our Lord, behind that fig tree, actually our Lord wants to reveal something even deeper and something even more. Now, if we go back to the letters to Ephesians. Now, this is a very important book. Because through this book, we are able to understand what is the eternal will of God. Now, in chapter 1, we are told that God has a purpose in himself. So what was the will of God in himself? Now the answer is Christ. When we read chapter 3, we were told that God has a purpose in Christ. Now what is that purpose of God in Christ? The church. So if we put these two thoughts together, the God's eternal purpose is Christ and his church. Then why our Lord talk about the fig tree? Why our Lord talk about Israel? Because our Lord said this is a parable. Learn the parable from the fig tree. When you see the future of Israel, then you see the future of the church. The way God is going to deal with Israel,
forma como Dios está tratando con Israel,
in the same way God is going to deal with his church. Now, when we look around, especially focus on today's Israel, we have many questions to ask. How is Israel going to cope with the situation today? Now, if Arafat insists on that the taking back insists on to make capital of his nation in Jerusalem, now, does that mean that Jerusalem will be away from the bosom of Israel again? How about Temple Mount? Do we really believe that before the Lord returns, there will be the third temple to be built? So we really have a question mark. Is Israel going to have a future? Is Israel going to have tomorrow? Yes, Israel has today, but has Israel tomorrow? Now the same question about the church. The more we know human nature, the more we know our flesh, the more we'll be disappointed. If you really study the church history, one failure after another failure, then we ask one question. Is church going to have tomorrow? Are we going to face tomorrow? So, in order to receive the comfort from the Word of God, we have to study the prophecy. Not to satisfy our curiosity. Because only through the prophecy we are able to know the Word of God. Now, last night we already know. Out of 590 major events predicted in the Bible, events have been wonderfully fulfilled. There are only 20 events to be left. And these 20 events are being fulfilled and will definitely be fulfilled. Then if this is true, that means this will really come to the last page of his history. Then we'll ask one question. What is the last phase of God's work? So, for that reason, we want to learn the parable from the fig tree. We use Israel as illustration, but our eyes should be upon the church. Because that's something to do with God's eternal will. We may fail. God will never fail. One day, he definitely will accomplish his will. One day, fallen is the great Babylon. Then Jerusalem will come down from heaven. Now, for that reason, we know that God is always victorious. So let us receive the comfort from the Word of God. Now this morning we would like to go one step further. We would like to go to something deeper. And we want to see how the Bible predicts about Israel.
Queremos ver cómo la Biblia hace predicción acerca de Israel.
At the same time,
y al mismo tiempo,
we would like to know what is the future of the church.
Nos gustaría saber cuál es el futuro de la iglesia.
Now, before we are doing that,
para antes de hacer eso,
we have to solve something very fundamental.
Tenemos que ver algo muy fundamental.
So we have to turn to Isaiah chapter 49.
Tenemos que abrir nuestras Biblias en el libro de Isaías
49,
capítulo 49.
Now from here we want to derive very important principles.
De este capítulo nosotros deseamos tener un principio muy importante.
Now you who are the leaders in the church. Now please pay attention to chapter 49 of Isaiah.
Por favor, tengan atención al capítulo 49 de Isaías.
Now we are about to learn something very important.
Estamos a punto de aprender una lección muy importante.
Verso 1. Listen to me, O island, and pay attention, your people from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, He named me.
Oíste cosas y escuchaste, pueblo de Sanas. Jehová me llamó desde el vientre, desde las entrañas de mi madre, tuyo mi nombre en el mundo.
Now, listen to me.
Oíste.
Who is me here?
¿Quién es? Me,
now we can only understand who is me through the context. So just be patient.
Entonces, por favor, tenga paciencia.
And then let us read verse 3.
Entonces, vamos a leer el verso 3.
And he said to me,
y él me dijo,
you are my servant,
mi siervo es
Israel.
O Israel,
in whom I will show my glory.
Porque en ti me gloriaré.
Now we understand who is me. Because God said to the speaker,
porque Dios ha dicho al profeta,
you are my servant Israel.
Mi siervo es, O Israel,
in whom I will show my glory.
Porque en ti me gloriaré.
Now we have two thoughts here.
First, primero,
my servant.
Mi siervo.
Second,
segundo,
Israel.
Israel.
Understand?
¿Con la mano está entendiendo?
Very clear. We have two thoughts here.
Muy claro, tenemos dos pensamientos.
In whom I will show my glory.
Que en ti me gloriaré.
But in this chapter,
pero en este capítulo,
you not only see one Israel.
Nosotros no vemos solamente uno Israel.
You will see two Israel.
Nosotros vemos dos Israel.
Then, how do we know there are two Israel?
Entonces, ¿cómo sabemos que hay dos Israel?
Now, let us read verse 5.
Vamos a leer el verso 5.
And now says the Lord,
ahora pues dice Jehová,
perform me from the womb to be his servant.
El que me formó desde el vientre para ser su siervo.
To bring Jacob back to him.
Para hacer volver a él a Jacob.
In order that Israel might be gathered to him.
Y para congregarle a Israel.
Who is him?
¿Quién es él?
Israel.
Israel.
Israel that mentioned in chapter 3, verse 3.
Israel es mencionado en verso 3.
Now let me illustrate. This is Israel in verse. This is Israel in verse 3.
Israel.
You see that? But now when you come to verse 5, to bring Jacob back to him.
Para hacer volver a Jacob.
So that means to bring Jacob back to Israel.
O sea, trazar Jacob de vuelta a Israel.
Then in order that Israel might be gathered to him.
Para que Israel pueda ser congregado a él.
So Israel might be gathered to Israel.
Israel puede ser apuntado a Israel.
So how many Israel do you have?
¿Cuántos Israel tenemos aquí?
You have two Israel.
Dos Israel.
Israel here.
Israel aquí.
Verse 2.
Verso 2.
Israel here.
Israel aquí.
Verse 5.
Verso 5.
So clearly you have two Israel.
Entonces claramente tenemos dos Israel.
Now how about this Israel in verse 5? It talks about Jacob.
Habla sobre Jacob.
It talks about Israel.
Habla sobre Israel.
So this means the people of Israel.
So esto significa el pueblo de Israel.
The Israel you all know about.
Israel que todos conocemos.
So this is Israel in verse 5.
Israel en verso 3.
But how about the Israel in verse 2?
Israel en verso 2.
So if you read the whole chapter,
entonces si nosotros leemos todo el capítulo,
you know this Israel refers to Messiah.
Vamos a descubrir que este Israel se refiere al Mesías.
Now that's our problem.
Este es nuestro problema.
We only know one Israel.
Nosotros solamente conocemos un Israel.
But according to verse 2.
Pero acuerdo al verso 2.
Verse 3.
Verso 3.
You are my servant Israel.
Mi siervo eres, oh Israel.
In whom I will show my glory.
Porque en ti me gloriaré.
Now, if you read the whole chapter, you will make no mistake.
No algo errar.
This Israel actually refers to Messiah.
Este Israel se refiere verdaderamente al Mesías.
To the Savior of mankind.
Salvador de la humanidad.
Refer to our Lord Jesus. So that's something very wonderful. That's something that we never dream of. We think there's only one Israel. The Lord said no.
No,
two Israel. Now in Book of Isaiah, not only the Messiah has been called my servant. Now the people of Israel also have been called my servant. So in Book of Isaiah, you have two servants of God. Two Israel. The Messiah, the servant of God. The people of God, the people of Israel, the servant of God. But what are the difference between these two servants? Now I have no time to go through other part of Book of Isaiah. But it will become very clear. According to the revelation from this book. Now the other servant of God, which is Israel, and what our Lord, what our God said, he is a blind one. That servant is blind. Do you see that? They are two servants of God. But with Messiah, with the anointed one of God, now he has a full vision. So if you read the whole Isaiah, and also 17 prophetic books in the Old Testament, you come to the conclusion. When Bible mentions the word Israel, yes, on one hand it applies to the people of the Israel. Now let me ask you, why people of Israel is called people of Israel? Because their father was called Jacob.
Su padre un día se llamaba Jacob.
And Jacob went through a wonderful experience in Peniel.
Jacob pasó por una maravillosa experiencia en Peniel.
You remember how God touched his side.
Y podemos acordarnos cómo Dios tocó su muslo.
From that time on.
Y a partir de aquel tiempo.
Now when Jacob began to move.
Cuando Jacob empezó a mover.
He knew that every step is by the grace of God.
Él sabía que cada paso era por la gracia de Dios.
Before that,
antes de eso,
he thought he was very strong.
Él pensaba que era muy fuerte.
But from that time on,
pero a partir de aquel tiempo,
he became very weak.
Él se tornó muy flaco, muy débil.
Then why he became very weak?
Entonces, ¿por qué era muy débil?
Just like what Paul said.
Exactamente como el apóstol Pablo.
When I am weak, I am strong.
Cuando yo estoy flaco, débil, ahí estoy fuerte.
Because the grace of Christ is always sufficient for him.
Porque la gracia de Dios siempre era suficiente para él.
The reason Jacob went through Peniel.
El motivo por lo cual Jacob pasó a través de él.
Because God wants to experience even more of his grace.
Es porque Dios deseaba experimentar más de su gracia.
And more than that.
Más que eso.
And God promised Jacob.
Dios prometió a Jacob.
His name is no longer called Jacob.
Su nombre no más sería llamado Jacob.
He will change into Israel. So we all know that. The people of Israel is called
Israel.
Because their father was no longer Jacob. The Jacob had been transformed. When you study the Bible, how God addressed to Jacob, you were Jacob. Now Jacob is nothing but a word.
Jacob is not a human.
Yes, God has given him all the earthly blessings. But that two-dimensional flat land is all the world to Jacob.
Esa llanura con dos dimensiones es todo el mundo para Jacob.
Jacob never knew that there is another dimension called heaven.
Jacob no sabía que había otra dimensión llamada cielo.
Through many years of training. And that subtle Jacob. Finally being transformed into Israel. He used to be a worm. Now he become a butterfly. Now he is able to fly in the three-dimensional heaven. Now that's the story of Israel. That's the potential of people of Israel. That's what God wants to do with the people of Israel. Why they call Israel? Because they have the same father. No longer Jacob. But Israel. No longer I, but Christ. Now this is very important principle. Do you see that? And this is story of the Old Testament. But then, we are told, our Lord Jesus, He is true Israel. Do you see that? That's why the Lord said, My servant Israel. Now one day, 1948. Then according to the prophecy here, Jacob, to bring Jacob back to him. In order that Israel might be gathered to him. So our Lord Jesus is the center of gathering. This world, they only know that around 1948, the nation of Israel was born. Reborn.
fue renacida.
But they do not know all the story. Actually, in
1948,
Christ was the center of that gathering. In order that Israel might be gathered to Israel. In order that this Israel might be gathered to that
Israel.
In order that earthly Israel may be gathered into heavenly
Israel.
So,
brothers,
you see the story here. That's the interpretation of the word of God to what happened in
1948.
Now, that's very important. So now I think we solved the problem. When you study prophecies in the Old Testament, when Bible refers to Israel, you discover there are double applications. One applied to the earthly Israel. One applied to our Lord Jesus. Now, because He is true Israel, those who we are born again in Christ, we become true Israelites. So I think it's very clear. So whenever Bible talks about Israel, you find double application. So if these are prophecies, so then now you see the dual application. Your fulfillment. Now, in this chapter,
the
Bible gives us a very good illustration. For example, we already know, for example, let us read verse 8. I think we better read verse 6. He says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant." To raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. Now that's the story since 1948. You know how our Lord raised up the tribe of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. But the comment of God here is very clear. It is too small a thing.
Poco es para mí.
Do you see that? Since 1948, for us,
para nosotros,
is a big thing.
Es algo muy grande.
And the nation of Israel was reborn. People came back to their own land. Jerusalem came back to the bosom of
Israel.
Then one day, and there will be a rebuilding of the second, the temple of God. We say these are big things. No, listen carefully. That's the comment from our God. It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel.
Poco es para mí que sucede mi siervo para levantar las tribus de Jacob para que restaure el remanente de Israel.
Then what is the bigger thing? What is the greater thing? Let us read on. I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of this earth.
Para que salvación hasta lo postrero de la tierra.
Now you see, this only a small thing.
Ahora nosotros vemos que es poca cosa, ¿eh?
On 1948, our Lord Jesus became the center of gathering for the people of Israel.
Nuestro Señor Jesús tiene que tornarse el centro de la congregación del pueblo de Israel.
But something much greater than that.
Pero algo mucho más grande.
I also make you a light of nations.
También te hizo luz de las naciones.
So that my salvation may reach the edge of the earth.
Para que
now what is the greater work?
¿Cuál es la obra mayor?
The work of salvation.
La obra de salvación.
The work of redemption.
La obra de redención.
Jesus is accomplished on the cross.
Completado en la cruz.
So you see that? Compare with this great thing.
Comparado con las grandes cosas.
Now, this restoration of Israel is nothing but a small thing.
Ahora, la restauración de Israel es nada. Poca cosa.
But brothers and sisters,
mas hermanos,
no matter what,
no importa qué,
some prophecy has been fulfilled.
Alguna profecía se ha cumplido.
Now, because Christ has the dual mission. On one hand,
por un lado,
he is the center of the gathering at the end day. On the other hand,
por otro lado,
he is the savior of mankind. So now, brothers, when you study the prophecy in this chapter, then you discover dual fulfillment. Now let me explain to you. According to the two aspects of the mission of Christ. Now here come the two fulfillment of the prophecy. For example, when we come to verse 8, thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, in a day of salvation I have helped you, and I will keep you and gave you for a covenant of the people to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolated heritage.
Así dice Jehová, en tiempo que sabes que de mí, me bendiga la salvación que hay en él, y te guardaré, y te daré por pacto al pueblo, para que restaures la tierra, para que heredes a todas las heredades.
Now that's very clear.
Claro.
Now when you study this part,
part,
it applies to people of Israel. That's why Bible talks of to restore the land. To make them inherit the desolate heritage. Now this is being fulfilled today. But don't forget, in the eyes of God, this is still a small thing. Something greater than that. So that's why we have verse 10. They will not hunger or thirst. Neither will the scourging heat or sun strike them down. And he who has compassion on them will lead them. And will guide them to the springs of water. Now Christ,
Cristo,
or our Savior,
nuestro Salvador,
according to this prophecy,
according to esta profecía,
will guide them to the springs of water.
Hasta los manantiales de agua.
If you study the whole Isaiah,
si nosotros estudiamos todo el libro de Isaías,
that refers to the springs of the water of salvation. As the Savior of mankind,
como Salvador de la humanidad,
he always leads us to the springs of water. We are just like the Samaritan woman. The Lord said, if we really receive this living water, we will thirst no more. This is wonderful salvation. Do you see that? So here we find find that
aquí descubrimos,
because of double mission of our Lord.
Por causa de la doble misión de nuestro Señor,
so now we see two different aspects of his work.
Entonces ahora vemos dos aspectos diferentes de su obra.
One applied to Israel.
Uno se aplica a Israel.
Another one applied to the church.
Y otro se aplica a la iglesia.
I think it's very clear here.
Para mí, es muy claro aquí.
So now,
entonces,
something will happen before he
returns.
So now let us read verse. Let us read verse 11.
Entonces vamos a leer el verso 11.
And I will make all my mountains a road.
Y convertiré en camino todos mis montes.
And my highways will be raised up.
Y mis calzadas serán levantadas.
Behold.
He aquí.
These shall come from afar.
Estos vendrán de lejos.
And lo, these will come from the north and from the west.
Y es aquí, estos del norte y del occidente.
And these from the land of Sinim.
Y estos de la tierra de Sinim.
Now that is, this part is most interesting prophecy. But you have to understand, you have to see the light, and you have to see the whole thing under the light of dual mission there. At the center of the gathering of people of Israel. Now the Lord, now the prophecy said, behold, this shall come from afar. And lo, this will come from the north and from the west. So what does this mean? Because he is the center of gathering. Now many people of Israel will come back from all over the world. So Bible says, these shall come from afar. And lo, this will come from the north and from the west. Now let me explain. When you come back to the Bible,
the
Bible always uses Jerusalem as a center.
La Biblia siempre usa Jerusalén como el centro.
When Bible says no,
la Biblia dice norte,
it refers to Syria.
Se refiere a Siria.
When Bible says south,
la Biblia dice sur,
it refers to Egypt.
Se refiere a Etiopía.
When Bible says east,
dice el occidente,
that refers to today's Iraq and Iran.
Oriente.
Now, when Bible says west, it refers to Eastern Europe. Now, very clear. Because when Bible talks about north, south, east, and west. But don't forget, the Bible here mentions the north and the west. Did not refer to Syria nor refer to Eastern Europe. Because you have to read the context. These shall come from afar. Do you see that? Far north and far west. So that means beyond Eastern Europe. And beyond Syria. Now, the prophecy has been wonderfully fulfilled. Now, what is the far west here? Then there will be many people of Israel. They will come back from the United States and will come back from Mexico and also will come back from Canada. Because that's far west. Right? And then how about far north? Around 1990. All of a sudden, the Berlin Wall collapsed. The Empire of Moscow collapsed in one night. And then to our surprise, now many Jewish people, they really come back from Russia. fought once upon a time. You know, these people will never leave their place. It is almost impossible. Now, let's turn to verse chapter 43. We will see something more interesting. Chapter 43, verse 5. Do not fear, for I am with you.
No temas, porque yo estoy contigo.
I will bring your offerings from the east.
De lo oriente traeré de la sur.
And gather you from the west.
Y de lo occidente traeré.
Now, interesting here. There is no problem for the people of Israel going back to their homeland from the east or from the west.
No hay problema para que el pueblo de Israel vuelva a su tierra, que viene del occidente.
But there's some part of the world they will have problems. Verse 6. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. But again, you have to judge the north and the south here by the context. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. So again, here is not just Egypt or Syria. Far north and far south. So what does that mean? That means since 1948. Now people of Israel come back from more than 100 nations. According to the prophecy here, they have no problem at all. But there are only two areas in this planet. They will not let the people of Israel go. For that reason, and God has to say to the north, give them up. And God has to say the south, do not hold them back.
No.
Do you see that? Then now we want to know. What are these two areas according to the Bible here? We have to study, we have to judge according to the word of God. Not how you get. That's not the way of interpretation. We have to interpret the word of God by the word of God. Now, where is this stuff? The Bible says, not only the stuff, also far south. So Bible talks about the ends of the earth. Now you think Chile is the end of earth. That's your understanding. But according to the Bible, we have to know how Holy Spirit defines the end of the earth. So now you study Matthew. Do you remember what our Lord said? Behold, there is someone who is greater than Solomon. And why? Because the queen of the south will come from the end of the earth to listen to Solomon. Now, something interesting. Queen of the south. We know it refers to Queen Sheba. In Old Testament. And the Bible said the end of the earth. And we know Queen Sheba comes from Ethiopia. So if you travel from Jerusalem south,
adulthood,
when you reach Ethiopia,
cuando uno alcanza la Etiopía,
according to the Bible,
la Biblia,
you already reached the end of the sun, the end of the earth.
Ya llegó a los confines de la tierra.
So you see,
los hermanos son
very, very clear.
Entonces es muy claro.
When Bible talk about far south,
cuando la Biblia habla el sur lejos,
it refers to Ethiopia.
Se refiere a la Etiopía.
Now, hopefully, you when you go home, I'm not here. You really go home to where you came from.
Ahora, yo quiero que cuando vosotros vayáis a tus casas,
you try to get a map.
Ustedes intentan obtener un mapa.
You get a pencil,
un lápiz,
and you have a ruler.
Regla.
Yeah. Then look, you look for Jerusalem.
Entonces tenemos que buscar por Jerusalén.
And then you use a pencil to do the tablet. Now make a ruler. Now direct the stuff. So then you also will find
Ethiopia.
Then if you measure these two distances,
Ethiopia
is 1400 miles south of Jerusalem. Now Bible refers as far south from the end of the earth.
Ahora la Biblia se refiere al sur más lejos, como el confín de la tierra.
So according to the prophecy here,
that
means Ethiopia will not let people of Israel go.
Significa la Etiopía no va a permitir que el pueblo de Israel se vaya.
It was very true.
Y así es verdadero.
Now study your history. Now,
right? La historia.
When you look back,
cuando nosotros miramos hacia atrás,
saying 40 since 1948. Now, if people of Israel came back from more than 100 nations, but remember, the government of Ethiopia tried to hold them back.
No los permitió salir.
They won't let them go.
No los permitieron salir.
Now that's one area.
Es una área.
How about another area?
¿Qué decir de la otra?
Now, where is north?
¿Dónde es el norte lejos?
Now, Bible is very symmetric. The revelation in the Bible is very scientific.
La revelación de la Biblia es muy científica.
Now, if you want to know where is the far south,
ahora, si vosotros queréis conocer dónde es el sur lejos,
then by the principle of symmetry,
entonces, por la principio de la simetría,
it's very clear.
Es muy claro.
Now, you look for Jerusalem in your map.
Busca Jerusalén en tu mapa.
Then you do the traveling north.
Pero ahora hace el viaje hacia el norte.
Now, if you travel south by the distance of a 1400 miles,
uno viaja hacia el sur la distancia de 1400 millas.
Now you do exactly the same by traveling north.
Ahora vamos a hacer lo mismo, pero hacia el norte.
You will be surprised. If you do that experiment, then you will reach Moscow today. Do you see that? So according to Isaiah chapter
45,
that was written 800 before Christ. Since 1948, we know there are only two areas won't allow people of Israel to go back to their homeland. So, one is Ethiopia. Another one is Russia. Very true, brothers and
sisters.
And they don't want to give them up. They want to hold them back. So then someday, God had to do something. And God had to say to Gorbachev, give them up.
Dámelos.
Now, something interesting.
Una cosa interesante.
There is a journalist from CBS, United States.
Hay un escritor de un diario CBS de Estados Unidos.
And he was in Moscow at that time.
Él estaba en Moscú en aquella época.
Literally, he heard the conversation from Gorbachev.
y literalmente ella escuchaba la conversación de Gorbachov.
Now Gorbachov said,
Gorbachov dijo,
now for many years,
por muchos años,
you Jews just want to go back to your land.
Vos judíos solamente quieren regresar a su tierra.
And you repeat and repeat your request.
Y ustedes repiten y repiten su deseo.
I'm tired of it.
Yo estoy cansado de eso.
If you want to go,
y vosotros queréis ir,
you just go.
Va.
So brother,
entonces,
why Gorbachev said that?
¿Por qué Gorbachev dijo eso?
Because there is someone who is greater than Gorbachev. Who said to Gorbachev, give them up.
Da-a-ka.
So brother,
entonces, hermano,
and there you discover the collapse of the empire of Moscow.
Entonces descubrimos cómo el imperio de Moscú
something no one can understand.
Almost
in one night, that great empire of Moscow collapsed. Now, when that empire is in power, people of Israel will never go back to their land. There was about 3.5 million Jews in Russia. They don't want to give them up. So finally, thank God, around 1990, God said, give them up. So Gorbachev had to let them go. Just like Moses said, let my people go. Now Gorbachev has to obey. And then since 1990, and then you will find almost another 1 million Jews come back from
Russia.
On average,
in
the airport of Tel Aviv, almost every 20 minutes, then there was airplane from Russia. Now, listen carefully. Among these almost 1 million of Russian Jews, there are at least 3,000 scientists. Best cream of nation of Russia. And more than that, if you gather these scholars together, now we know that there is a very famous institute called Weizmann Institute. It's equivalent to Harvard,
es casi como la Universidad de Harvard
or University of Chile,
o Universidad de Chile,
but anyway,
pero
you know that this is the best college or best university in Israel. Now, if you gather all these cream of scientists together, they are able to create 5 vitamin
institutes.
And many musicians come from back from Russia. And then they are able to form 5 greatest symphonies of the world. 5 greatest symphonies. So think about it. Finally, they really come back from Russia. They harbor Ethiopia. Very interesting. By that time, something political thing happened to Ethiopia. And when they almost have another coup, political coup, then a government of Israel took action. I think they spent $100 million.
100 millones de dólares
to hire several 747.
Para alquilar varios aviones 707.
That operation was called Operation of Solomon.
Y aquella operación se llamó Operación Solomón.
They sent airplanes to Ethiopia.
Y enviaron los aviones hacia Etiopía.
And then really take more than 10,000 Ethiopians back to Israel. Fortunately, compared with Russian Jews, Ethiopian Jews are very thin. Because Ethiopia is the poorest country in the whole world. Now, because they are very thin, so they take away all the seats from the 747. So they put this Ethiopian Jew just like a sardine fish. One next to each other. But you cannot do this with the Russian Jews. Because with the Russian Jews, each one had they would take a heavy seat. They would take a big seat. So no more seats. They take all the seats away. Do you see that? And then everybody squeezed together. They are going home. For 2,000 years, they were dreaming one day they will go back to their home. Most likely, they were descendants of Solomon and Queen Sheba. They are black in their color. But they are Jews. They want to go home. But they tried to hold them back. But thank God. And that operation was unforgettable. Seven babies were born in that flight. And then, when the Jewish rabbi was welcoming their brethren come home, when they see their brothers coming back from Ethiopia, and many rabbis really wept, they said, this means the Messiah is coming back very soon. It's most emotional encounter at the airport. That happened around 1990. So brothers, do you see that? Because Messiah, the Savior of mankind, he has one mission. He is the center of a gathering. So this Israel will go to that Israel. Even now the Russia or Ethiopians do not want to let them go. God work all things together. Now you want to hold all thy people back? In one night, the whole empire collapsed. Then my people definitely will go. Now we go back to Isaiah 49. It will become much clearer now. Isaiah chapter 49.
Capítulo 49.
Verse 12.
Verso 12.
Behold,
he aquí,
this shall come from afar.
Estos vendrán de lejos.
Now you understand the prophecy.
Ahora se entiende la profecía.
And lo, this will come from the north and from the west.
Y he aquí, estos del norte y del occidente.
It's far north.
Lejos al norte.
And the far west.
Y lejos al occidente.
Now we know the far west.
Nosotros conocemos el occidente.
United States. Canada, and so on and so forth.
Estados Unidos, Canadá, y así por delante.
But now we are also very clear.
Pero ahora tenemos una cosa muy clara, ¿bien?
Now this comes from the far north.
Y eso viene de lejos al norte.
So this prophecy was fulfilled around 1990.
Esta profecía se ha cumplido en el año 1990.
We are most blessed.
Nosotros somos los más bendecidos.
With our own eyes,
y con nuestros propios ojos,
we will see many prophecies fulfilled.
Nosotros vamos a ver muchas profecías.
So that's what the Lord is doing.
Y eso es lo que el Señor está haciendo.
And then,
entonces,
and this from the land of Shinim.
Y eso de la tierra de Shinim.
Now you have a far north.
Ahora tenemos el norte de lejos.
You have far west.
Tenemos occidente lejos.
Then have a far east.
Así es, el oriente lejos.
So now the Bible says.
Ahora la Biblia dice.
These are from land of China.
Y estos vienen la tierra de China.
So what does that mean?
¿Qué significa esto?
It simply means. And when people of Israel go back to their home, some of them they even came back from China. Can you believe that? Anything. Now Chinese Jews are Jews. You have seen many Jews. You have seen many Chinese. Can you imagine? And these Jews actually come back from China. Did the Bible make any mistake? No, the Bible did not make a mistake. Very interesting. You know, around 1200 1200 after Christ. And there were many Jews who migrated to China. So they went to Kaifeng, the capital of China at that time. So they settled down there. Just like many people went to Brazil. But now they have to be very cautious, very be careful. They want to draw the attention of the people. What? They don't want to draw
the attention of the people.
So they want to hide themselves. But if they hide themselves, then their children may forget that they are Jews. So that's what happened in Brazil. Now then people, they use their name. If some name is connected with the fruits, you almost sure they are descendants of Jews. So that's why you have Figueiredo, you have Oliveira, and all these names.
Por eso tenemos Figueiredo en portugués, Oliveira en portugués y otros nombres.
So by this way, now one day, their descendants will know that we are the Jews. The same thing happened in China. So it's about 800 or 900 ago, years ago. So these Jews went to China. Then they took the name, last name of emperor as their last name.
Entonces tomaron el último nombre del emperador como su último nombre.
Now, my last name is Chen.
Ahora mi apellido es Chen.
Now, by that time,
en aquel tiempo,
the last name of emperor is Chao.
El apellido del emperador era Chao.
Just like Italians saying goodbye, Chao.
Bye-bye.
So, now that's last name.
Ahora ese es su apellido.
So then, they all take that last name.
Entonces todos los judíos tomaron ese apellido.
They wear Chinese dress. They dress like part of. They really adapt to all the Chinese customs.
Y ellos se adaptaron a todos los costumbres chinos.
They have their synagogues.
Tenían sus sinagogas.
They have their Bible.
Tenían sus Biblias.
They use the way of Chinese writing.
Escribían como los chinos escriben.
to write their Bible.
Para escribir su Biblia.
So from generation after generation,
entonces, generación tras generación,
they become part of a Chinese culture.
Ellos tornaron parte de la cultura china.
But they never forget.
Ellos nunca se olvidaron.
They were Jews.
Ellos eran judíos.
You see?
Pues no,
normally you know them.
Normalmente uno los conoce
by their facial expression.
Por su expresión de su rostro.
On the one hand, the women are much taller.
Por un lado, las mujeres son mucho más altas.
And also their nose very different from Chinese nose.
Y también sus narices son muy diferentes de los narices chinos.
So by that way, you know that they are Jews.
Y de este modo, uno sabe que son judíos.
Now something very interesting.
Una cosa muy interesante.
There is 1949.
Desde 1949.
Many Kaifeng Jews.
Muchos judíos de Kaifeng.
Or these Chinese Jews.
Or these judíos chinos.
They really went back to Israel. So today, if you visit Tel Aviv, if you pick up any Chinese restaurant, you don't have to ask, what's your name? The name must be Chao. Why? Because he's from the land of Sinin. This comes from China. Why? Because Christ had one of the missions. As a center of gathering for the people of Israel. So when our Lord fulfilled that mission, behold, this comes from the far, and lo, this will come from the north and from the west, and this from the land of Sinim. Now, very interesting. Because this part of prophecy has been wonderfully fulfilled. But listen carefully. This is only part of the story. He not only, our Lord was not only the center of gathering. He is the Savior of the whole world. He is the light to all the nations. And his salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And he will guide them to the springs of water of salvation. So that part also ought to be fulfilled. Now something very interesting. If that applies to the church, if that applies to his work of salvation, now read verse 12. Behold, they shall come from afar. They are coming to the fountain of the water of spring. They come to the spring of water. You see that? Now, something interesting. Either in the Far East, also from the far north. And they came from afar. They come to the spring of salvation. Now what does that mean? According to this prophecy, after the empire of Moscow collapsed, the gospel somehow has penetrated into that empire. Today we don't know how to explain it. Many people are saved in Russia. So that's the fulfillment of this wonderful prophecy. Behold, this comes from afar, from the this will come from the north. But more surprisingly, you just cannot expect. China is a country who has worshipped their idols more than 5,000 years. But according to the word of God,
pero acuerdo a la palabra de Dios,
the salvation will reach that dark land.
La salvación va a alcanzar aquella tierra que está oscurecida.
And now this wonderful prophecy that will be fulfilled.
Y ahora esta maravillosa profecía se va a cumplir también.
These are from land of China.
Estos son de la tierra de China.
They used to worship their idols.
Ellos estaban adorando a sus ídolos.
Now they have been translated into the kingdom of the God's love.
Ahora son transportados hacia el reino del Hijo del amor de Dios.
Now they have come to the spring of water.
Ahora es el cielo, las manantiales de las aguas.
Brothers and sisters, after 30 stormy years,
después de 30 años de muchas tormentas,
you know very well China is a nation, the country of atheists.
Nosotros sabemos que la China es un país de ateos.
Government declared that there is no God.
El gobierno declarado no existe Dios.
Now, younger generation was brought up in that kind of education.
La generación más joven ha sido enseñada con esta educación.
After 30 years of iron hand,
después de 30 años de la mano de hierro,
you almost can be sure that there will be no more gospel.
Uno casi podría estar seguro que no había más evangelio allá.
Because their policy is to wipe out all the religions, including the gospel.
Porque su propósito era eliminar todas las religiones, incluyendo el evangelio.
Remember, their way is much more thorough than Roman Empire. So remember, Chinese people are the most populated people on this earth.
El pueblo chino es el pueblo más populoso de toda esta tierra.
Through more than 30 stormy years,
pero más de 30 años de tempestuosa,
you almost can be sure.
Tú casi puedes estar seguro.
Now there will be no more gospel left.
Sino habrá ningún evangelio allá.
But to your surprise,
pero para nuestra sorpresa,
there was no Billy Graham.
No hubo Billy Graham.
There was no D.L. Moody.
No hubo D.L. Moody.
There were no great evangelists.
No hubo gran evangelista.
But somehow,
pero de alguna manera,
the Lord has done something wonderful work.
El Señor ha hecho una obra maravillosa.
And then you discover, one by one they were saved.
Uno a uno de los obtenidos salvos.
Of course, government never recognized that fact.
Claro, el gobierno nunca va a reconocer eso.
So in their statistics, always make it very, always reserve something. Always very reserved.
Ellos saben muy velaramente.
So they try to keep everything in small numbers. But something very interesting. According to their record, now there are at least 46 million Chinese, they are
saved.
Because they don't want that number to become big. That according to what they know. But today there are many underground churches. So these are the Christians they don't know. So if you double that number, this is a very accurate number. So brothers and sisters, think about it. That nation has worshipped idols for more than 5,000 years. And that nation has went through 30 years of stormy years. And the iron fist tried to wipe out all the religions, including gospel. Remember, our Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church. The day of Hades shall never be against it. Shall never prevail against it. So that's really happened in China. When missionary went again visit China, how do they explain the whole phenomena? No evangelist.
No evangelista.
And no great man.
No grandes Everything's underground.
Now this kind of soil is most unsuitable for the growth of life. You smell death everywhere. Gospel become hopeless. Now no missionary allowed to preach gospel there. Remember. Now this is Israel. What our Lord said, in whom I will show my glory. So finally, he said, lo, this will come from the north and from the west. And this from the land of China. Then the Holy Spirit cannot help but shout in joy. Verse 13. Shout for joy, O heaven. And rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people. And will have compassion on his
afflicted.
China was one of most suffering nation in the whole world. The people there went through one war after another war. It is poverty that almost controlled the whole land. But thank God. Brothers and sisters, now here we have a prophecy. Now here we discover the word of Christ is so visible. According to this prophecy, behold, this from the land of China.
Estos vendrán de la tierra de Siní.
So, brothers and sisters,
entonces, hermanos,
do you see that? Now we have found very important law of interpretation.
Ahora tenemos descubierto una ley de interpretación muy importante.
Chapter 49 is illustration.
El capítulo 49 es una ilustración.
We see the double fulfillment.
Nosotros vemos el cumplimiento doble.
Now, the word Israel,
bueno, la palabra Israel
not only applies to people of Israel,
no solamente se aplica al pueblo de Israel,
it also applies to the heavenly church.
Sino también se aplica a la iglesia celestial.
So if you see that, then when you study the prophecies again,
entonces cuando estudiamos la de la profecía,
you not only see the future of Israel,
no solamente ve el futuro de Israel,
you also see the future of the church.
También veremos el futuro de la iglesia.
Now, let me say something more.
Permítame decir algo más.
You know it very well.
Nosotros sabemos muy bien.
Now, among Bible scholars,
entre los eruditos de la Biblia,
they are divided when they interpret prophetic books in the Old Testament.
Ellos están divididos cuando interpretan los libros proféticos en el Antiguo Testamento.
Now, roughly, they are divided into two schools.
Y aproximadamente, ellos están divididos en dos escuelas.
Now, one school interpretation.
Una escuela de interpretación.
We call it reform.
Nosotros llamamos la escuela reformada.
When we say reform,
cuando nosotros decimos reformar,
they are followers of John Calvin.
Ellos son los seguidores de Juan Calvin.
So that one school of interpretation.
Esta es una escuela de interpretación.
Then there's another school of interpretation.
Entonces hay una otra escuela de interpretación.
We call it dispensational.
Y nos llamamos la escuela de los dispensacionalistas.
Almost 150 years ago.
Casi 150 años atrás.
There was a great movement in England.
Hubo un gran movimiento en
This movement is called Plymouth Brethren. Now their teaching is always labeled as dispensational.
Siempre ha sido señalada como dispensacional.
If you visit the United States,
si usted visitase Estados Unidos de América,
Dallas Theological School,
la escuela teológica de Dallas,
is following this school of interpretation.
Y es escuela de interpretación.
So these are brethren,
ellos son hermanos,
dispensational, Now, their interpretation is very different from the Reform. If you visit the United States, now Westminster Theological School will represent this school of interpretation. Now remember, both of these schools, they believe Bible is the Word of God. They really are evangelicals in the understanding of the gospel. So, but unfortunately, when they try to interpret the prophecies in the Old Testament, evidently they are different. For the brethren, or for the dispensational. Now, every time when the Bible mentions Israel, for them, it is always literal. Always applied to the people of Israel. So that's their way of interpretation. You see that? For that reason, many of the prophecies here are yet to be fulfilled. Because they know that that will apply to the people of Israel. But for the understanding, of a reform school,
sin embargo, a quello entendimiento de la escuela reformada,
according to their theology,
según su teología,
God has already been through with the people of Israel.
Dios ya ha completado lo que tenía que hacer con el pueblo de Israel.
God already laid the people of Israel aside.
Dios ya ha dejado puesto de lado el pueblo de Israel.
God has nothing to do with the people of Israel.
Dios no tiene nada más que ver con el pueblo de Israel.
Now the church is going to take that place.
Por su punto de vista, la iglesia va a asumir su lugar en Israel.
So if this is true,
y esto es verdadero,
when you study the prophecies in Isaiah,
cuando nosotros estudiamos las profecías de Isaías,
Jeremiah,
Jeremías,
Zechariah,
Zacarías,
and many other books,
y muchos otros libros.
Now when Bible talk of Israel, now, according to the Reform School, this definitely applies to the church. Cannot apply to the earthly people. And how about Jerusalem? How about Zion? Now they all spiritualize it. Do you see that? Now there are two schools of interpretation. For dispensational school, they believe all the literal interpretation. Israel is Israel. Jerusalem is Jerusalem. Temple is temple. But for the reformed people, Israel represents the heavenly people. And Jerusalem reference to testimony. And temple refers to the church. So they all specialize in
it.
So if you study the interpretation of these two different schools, then you really begin to have a problem. Because for the reformed people, all the prophecies in the Old Testament have been fulfilled, and will be fulfilled in the church. Do you see that? So that's why they are different in their interpretation. One is sitting on applying to the people of Israel. And another one insists that they will apply to the church. But brothers and sisters, unfortunately, if you study your Bible very well, both of them are correct.
Los dos están correctos.
There is no reason for them to fight each other.
No hay ninguna razón para que estén peleando uno contra el otro.
Because in the Bible,
porque en la Biblia,
especially Old Testament,
especialmente en el Antiguo Testamento,
you have two Israel.
En verdad tenemos dos Israel.
You do have two servants of God.
En verdad tenemos dos siervos de Dios.
Now you see, just like the blind people,
así como los ciegos,
just like a blind person,
así como una persona ciega,
try to figure out how elephant look like. So when he touched the feet of elephant, he said elephant just look like a pipe. Now he's correct.
Está correcto.
And then some other blind person,
entonces, otra persona ciega,
touched the stomach of the elephant.
Toca la guata del elefante.
Then he said the elephant looked like a drum.
Va a decir que el elefante es como una tambor.
Both of them are correct.
Los dos son correctos.
But they only have partial truth.
Pero ellos tienen solamente una verdad parcial.
They don't have the whole truth.
No tienen toda la verdad.
Now very clear.
Muy claro.
When you study your Bible,
cuando estudias tu Biblia,
especially when Bible is mentioned Israel,
especialmente cuando la Biblia menciona Israel,
remember the rule of dual fulfillment.
Tenemos que acordarnos de la regla del doble cumplimiento.
On one hand,
por un lado,
it applies to earthly Israel. On the other hand, it applies to a heavenly Israel. So when you apply to the earthly Israel, actually you have the interpretation from the brethren school. But when you insist on the heavenly Israel, so what you have is the school of reform. Now, brother, why are we so fight? You know, in the Bible, only take the bow, you will have the whole picture. Now we understand. Why our Lord said, let us learn parable from
fiction.
Yes. Now we will see the future of Israel. All miracles. All by the grace of God.
Todo por la gracia de Dios.
Now the same thing should apply to the church.
Debe ser aplicado a la iglesia.
Is the church going to have tomorrow?
¿Tendrá iglesia una mañana?
Now study your prophecy.
Ahora estudia tu profecía.
Then everything will become very clear.
Entonces todo se tornará muy claro.
Unfortunately, my time is gone. Now I understand tonight probably the message for the workers and leaders. So if you allow me, now I try to finish the message in tonight. Because we will try to apply this principle.
Porque vamos a intentar aplicar este principio
for the understanding of some important prophecies in Ezekiel.
Para el entendimiento de algunas profecías importantes en el libro de Ezequiel.
Now, if you see the dual fulfillment,
ahora, si nosotros vemos el cumplimiento doble,
on one hand,
por un lado,
you see what happened to Israel.
Vamos a ver lo que está ocurriendo en Israel.
On the other hand,
por otro lado,
we see the future of the church.
Vamos a ver el futuro de la iglesia.
So I think this is very, very important.
Entonces, yo pienso que es muy, muy importante.
May the Lord really speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we really commit this time into your hands.
Amado Señor, en verdad ponemos este tiempo en tus manos.
We pray that you will give us spirit of revelation and wisdom.
Nos oramos que el Señor nos conceda el espíritu de sabiduría y revelación.
Open our understanding.
Que pueda abrir nuestro entendimiento.
Because we know that when you open your word,
y nosotros sabemos que cuando el Señor abre tu palabra,
it will make all most simple ones wise.
Tu palabra hace que lo más sencillo entre nosotros
se torne stabile.
So once again,
entonces una vez más,
we pray that
nosotros oramos,
you will translate all the this message into the level everyone can understand.
Que tu mismo Señor traduzca todo este mensaje en el nivel que todos pueden entender.
We are here, Lord.
Nosotros estamos aquí, Señor.
We thank you for this wonderful time together.
Nosotros te damos gracias por este tiempo maravilloso que tenemos
con usted. May your word really sink into our hearts.
Que pueda tu palabra verdaderamente alcanzar el profundo de nuestros corazones.
May this weekend
pueda este final de semana
will be the unforgettable weekend. May this weekend will have eternal value in your eyes. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Aleluya.
Damos un aplauso al Señor.